And we're in Exodus chapter 5. Now, remember the process here. The Lord is going to rescue his people from Egypt. And our big application is Egypt is a picture of the world. And the Lord has to pull us away from the world too at times and bring us to a point where we're pretty miserable in the world. And then we finally come to Jesus. And it's just our stubbornness and our hard-heartedness that takes so long to get there. And Israel is a good picture for us to see. When we look at them, we say, man, why don't you guys get it? And then we look in the mirror and we see we're really kind of pointing back at us too, because we're hard-headed and stubborn-hearted as well. So don't get too upset with Israel. It's kind of a mirror picture of us at times. So as the Lord has been preparing them, he's continuing to work to make their life more miserable so that they'd be ready to move when God says it's time to move. And he's been using Moses as his servant to work on their heart in this process. Well, Moses, being the middleman, he's kind of a picture of us at times when the Lord is trying to reach other people. And we're the guy who is the servant. We're taking the God's message and delivering it to whomever God puts in front of us to deliver that message to. And there are times that we end up being feeling like Moses. So we get some great lessons here, because Moses gets kind of frustrated when he's hoping that I've taken this good news to these people and the people hate me. And that's not unusual sometimes when we go to the world and put that message out there. So let's jump in at verse 15 to get a little background, and we'll come up to where we see. Verse 17, I'm sorry. As they went to talk to Pharaoh and try to tell him, God said, let the people go. He said, you are idle, idle. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore go now and work, for no straw shall be given you. Yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. So Moses now is, they realize the people that their life is more difficult because Moses spoke to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh is more mad at them than he was before, so he's making life harder. So here's Moses and Aaron ready to greet the guys, and I'm sure ready to try to encourage them that, hey, hang in there, God's going to help you. And they come out and basically chew them out, because it's like, you have made our life worse instead of better. So then we get the verse 22. First thing it says there is, so Moses returned to the Lord. Now that's an excellent lesson in itself. When you and I go and we try to talk to people about the Lord and they basically throw it back in our face, our response shouldn't be we're going to get mad at them, we're going to get mad at God or anything, but our first response should be, well, I need to go back to the Lord and start right there, okay? So we see him going back to the Lord, and that's a good thing. Now, Moses is an interesting guy for us to look at, because he is so honest with the Lord. And it's a great lesson for us, because there are times where we might try to pretty ourselves up coming to the Lord, you know, like we're going to fool him. Well, Moses just lays it out there right where he's at. And we might as well do that, because God sees your heart and he sees my heart. And he knows what you were upset about this morning when you woke up. He knows what you said when somebody cut you off on the way here today. He knows all of those things, okay? So we're not fooling God when we try to put that smile on and say, hey, dear Father, I want to talk to you, you know. So Moses, he comes to the Lord, which is a good thing, and he kind of lets it all hang out. And God can handle that when you and I do that, okay? Moses does it over and over again, and we're glad to see how God deals with him. He deals with him where he's at, all right? So here's Moses' response in verse 22. He returned to the Lord, and he said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Okay? Now, like I said, up close here, to Moses, it looks like, you said you're going to deliver these people. I don't see anything happening. All I see is them having a worse life than before I came. All right? So from his perspective, God's not doing his job. And he tells God that, you know, you haven't delivered these people at all. Now, the Lord was real gracious here, because he could have, you know, slapped Moses around a little bit, didn't do that. He's going to talk to him some here. But what's going on in the background is God is working. He's the one who made their life more miserable. He's the one who's getting Pharaoh upset. Okay, he's doing all of this. it just doesn't look like deliverance to Moses because he hasn't said leave yet. All right, but God is at work. And that's the big lesson for you and me too, that when we think, well, I did what you told me, Lord, but nothing's happening. There is probably a lot going on behind the scenes that you and I don't see. Okay, and God is setting things up. He is preparing. He is working. So don't be fooled by what you see. And that's going to happen quite a bit here with Moses. He's looking at the circumstances, and it's not working at all the way he thought it should work. But notice his big questions of, he said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people, and why is it you have sent me? So he's asking the why question. Why, Lord? Why? And when we ask that question of the Lord, realize, you know, like we read earlier, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So even if he did tell us what was going on, we probably wouldn't get it all anyway, you know. So hang in there when we say, why, Lord? And he's kind of quiet on that subject because we're really not where we need to be to understand it. We're not God, okay? So chapter 6, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. Now when Moses is saying, you haven't done anything at all, Lord, the Lord says, now you're going to see what I will do. Okay? So something interesting here. Even after the Lord gives us a heads up and tells us what's coming, we still may not get it. Because remember, God already told Moses, here's what's going to happen, Moses. You're going to go talk to them. The Pharaoh's not going to want to hear what you have to say. You're going to tell him, let him go. And he's going to say, no. He already told him all this. See? So when Moses went, he really shouldn't have been surprised when the Pharaoh said, no. Because God said he was going to say, no. Okay? So the lesson for you and me is that even when the Lord tells us stuff, I think sometimes we say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like, you know, the kid says to the parent, yeah, sure, sure. And then when it happens, we're surprised. But what did Jesus tell the disciples? You know, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So don't be upset when you hear some growling and some snarling, and some of them even want to chase you, you know, and have you for lunch. We shouldn't be surprised at that, right? And yet, I know if you're like me, there are times we do that. We tell somebody about the Lord, and they don't want to hear it at all. It's like, Lord, aren't you working here? You know, he knows what he's doing. We just obey the Lord and leave that up to him. So, when the Lord is doing this kind of work, the lesson for us is just don't give up when things get worse instead of better, because you haven't seen what God can do yet. And that's where Moses is at right here. Because the Lord says, now you're going to see what I can do. I've let you see the anger of Pharaoh, and now you're going to get to see up close what I do. So hang in there. There's that time where we're trying to obey the Lord and do what he tells us, and we don't see any results. But you think it's kind of like the farmer, you know, he goes out and plants the seed, and if it doesn't come up the next day, he doesn't get upset. You know, but we're kind of impatient sometimes. We think, I planted the seed, I should have corn the next day. Come on, I put the seed in the ground, Lord, what's up with this? And the Lord is saying, there's a time going to happen in between here, okay? So then the Lord said to Moses, now you'll see what I will do to Pharaoh. And notice, here's the end result of that. He said, for with a strong hand, he will let them go, and with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. So he said, you know, up to this point, God's message is, let my people go. He said, Pharaoh is not only going to let them go, he's going to make them leave. All right? And that is the end of the story of what's going to happen. And notice how much God can do. And the place where Moses was at this point, as he looked around, didn't look like God was doing anything at all. And yet God's got everything in the works, and as far as he's concerned, it's already done. And as you heard the Pharaoh say, I'm not letting them guys go at all, he's going to say, get out of here. He's going to take him that far. Okay, so God's amazing in what he can do. So don't give up on the Lord. He knows what he's doing, and he does it in his perfect time. Now, verse 2, and God spoke to Moses, and he said to him, I am the Lord. And that is the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And this is the name Yahweh, which means the eternal self-existent one. And he said, I am that God. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. And the name there is a reference to the all-powerful one. But he said, by my name Lord, I was not known to them. So what the Lord has done, he has presented himself to the people of Israel at this point in a new way. Okay? He said, before I was known as God Almighty, but now I'm giving you a more personal revelation of myself. I am Yahweh, the self-existent one. I've given you a new name for myself that I haven't given before. Okay? And this is a lesson for us too, that God reveals himself further as time goes on, even in your life and in my life. The more we hang in there with the Lord, the more he reveals himself to us. And you know, if you walk with the Lord for some time, I think you'd have to admit, you know God better today than you did 10 years ago. You know, and like I said, the more I study the scripture, I find out that God just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I thought I knew the Lord years ago, but it was in such a small way compared to how much I've seen of him now and how huge and immense he is based on the more he has shown me in his word and let me know about himself. So if you get to the point where you think, well, I know what God is like, you don't even know, okay? And I know if you talk to people who don't even know Jesus yet, they will say, oh, I know what God's like. You know, you're thinking, you really don't have a clue. You know, and you don't tell them that, but you're thinking that. You know, it's like, what do you think God is like? And they paint this picture, you know, oh, he's a grandfather, you know, with a big long white beard, just loves everybody to pieces and stuff, and doesn't look at their sin or anything, you know. And that's obviously not the picture of God. Or the other picture I run into, too, is that he's up there with a big whip just waiting for somebody to step out of line so he can snap that whip on him today, you know. And both of those pictures are so messed up. But that's kind of the pictures the world has, you know. They don't understand the Lord. So the encouragement for you and me is to continue to walk with him, and you'll be amazed how well you know him in the next couple of years if the Lord tarries and you stay close to him. You'll be amazed how much bigger he gets and how much more you know. So God said, I've revealed myself to you guys in a more special way than I did even with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said in verse 4 there, I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And the Lord says, I have established my covenant with them. So as of now, God is letting his people know, I am making a covenant with you, and that land is yours. Okay? And we praise God for these covenants that he makes, because he blesses us when he makes the covenant. Okay, he's not making a covenant of judgment, that I'm going to judge you the rest of the days of your life. No, his covenant is, I want to be with you. I want you to be part of what I've got going. And it's a call to himself. Just like we celebrated with communion, the covenant was us coming closer to God, not of him saying, I want to judge you and punish you and put my finger on you and stuff and pressure you, you know. No, that's not our Lord. He's calling us to himself. So it goes on then, as he said, I'm going to give them the land of Canaan. In verse 5, he says, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Okay? So all of these things he's telling Moses at this point, these are reasons to prove that God is on their side and that he's not done yet in fulfilling his promise. Okay? Because he said, I'm giving you the land. Of course, they're not even one step closer to it at this point in their view. He said, I've heard their groaning, and the Lord already told him he's done that. He knows the Egyptians have him in bondage. He's not pleased with that. And the Father says, I have remembered that covenant with you. So the Lord says, everything's in place. It's all working. You don't see that yet, but it's working. And the same for you and me. You know, that covenant is in place. If you're in Christ today, God has a covenant made with you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in place. Everything's okay. He's working that covenant for our behalf, okay? So we don't have to get shook when we see the circumstances around us don't line up with what we were hoping to see. It goes on then in verse 6, therefore, say to the children of Israel, and I love this passage here because he starts it with this phrase and he ends it with this phrase, and he said, I am the Lord. And that is the capital L-O-R-D. He said, I am Yahweh, okay? That one who is self-existent. I'm powerful enough to exist all by myself, and I'm eternal, okay? That's tied up in that word. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Notice all the I wills in here. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. That means with a mighty, powerful arm, and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, Yahweh, your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. And he said at the end of that, then, he puts a stamp on there, I am the Lord. All right? Boy, what an amazing, sure list of promises of what God is going to do in their life. Okay? Now, you and I have an even greater blessing from the Lord in that he's not promising us a piece of land on this earth that we're going to have from him. He's promised an eternity in his presence. And I'd gladly take that, you know, for over anything this world has to offer. And that's based on him being the Lord. Okay? So an awesome blessing that the Lord is giving here to pass on to them. Now, something I noticed from this too, a big lesson. Here's Moses. He's kind of wondering what's going on because he hasn't seen anything yet. God's given him the message to deliver again to the people of Israel who are mad right now because they're being pushed so hard to work with the impossible, making brick, and they're not given any straw. They have to go search for stubble. So their life's a mess, and God's given them all these blessings here in his name. And you know what it comes down to? When he keeps putting it, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, he is saying, it's all about the Lord. It's not about you, Moses. You know, it's really not about you. You're the messenger. It's about the Lord and what he's doing. It even comes down to the people. They're going to be the people of the Lord. So when you and I get discouraged, you know, and thinking, Lord, I'm doing all this work. What's up with that? The Lord is saying, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about the Lord. He's the one we're going to be worshiping for all eternity. Okay? So the focus really should be on him. And hopefully that helps us to say, Lord, I can do this for you. That's cool. Because he takes responsibility for that too. Verse 9, so Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. And it says that funny little word again, but they did not heed Moses because of the anguish of spirit and cruel bondage they were in. Okay? So get yourself in Moses' picture, shoes again here for this. Moses obeyed the Lord. He went and he told the children of Israel exactly what God said. But they didn't listen to him. Okay, so he obeyed the Lord, but things didn't get better. Not right away. Okay, down the road, people are going to look at Moses as being the man. Okay, Israel today, those who are following, trying to follow God at all in their orthodox views, still see Moses as the man. Okay, but right now, they don't want to hear anything he's got to say. It's like, you've made our life miserable, just leave. And really, that's what they're thinking about the Lord too at this point. They're just not happy with what's going on. So hang in there, because if you're doing what God told you to do and things just don't seem to turn around, hang in there, because it probably won't turn around next time anyway, right? It's going to take a while longer before they finally turn around. And like I said, we're pretty impatient. In our culture, we're used to things happening fast, you know? We got microwaves. We don't have to wait for anything, right? But the Lord tells us he doesn't work that way. He's not a microwave. We don't push a few buttons and get his results. That doesn't work. God's doing a whole bunch of things in the background, working on a whole bunch of people's lives, and we're just one person in the mix. And a lot of times it's not about us anyway. He's just working through us. Okay? So hang in there. Hang in there. And don't be discouraged when you see something go wrong and then later on something else go wrong and something else go wrong. God's still working. He knows what he's doing. Okay? But the people here, it tells us why they didn't want to hear Moses, because of the anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. And you know, when you and I are hurting and in a bad situation, it's hard for us to say, yeah, Lord, thank you. Everything's going great, you know, because it doesn't feel that way at the time. And the Lord understands that. He didn't crush these people. He just kept telling them, wait, I'm going to do something here. You'll see it. Okay? Verse 10. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land. Now, how'd you like this? Moses already went to the children of Israel, and they said, get out of here. So he says, okay, well, just go to Pharaoh and talk to him. And it's like, you know what's coming. He's going to say, get out of here too. So looking at the circumstances right now, it doesn't look good at all. And Moses is concerned about this, because Moses, verse 12, speaks before the Lord, and he says, the children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me, for I am of uncircumcised lips? And he's saying, if my own people don't want to hear what I have to say, why are you sending me to Pharaoh again? Because I know Pharaoh don't want to hear what I got to say for sure, you know? And again, he's looking at the circumstances. But when you and I do this and we see the circumstances, it's better to just obey anyway. If you and I know what God has told us to do, you just continue to do what he said to do. And when things around us don't look right, don't worry about it. Just continue to do what God tells us to do. Even when it looks like it's the wrong thing to do from our perspective, just obey the Lord because he's going to do something down the road. Okay? We looked at that passage before we started about the Lord saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So when you see things, it looks like it's terrible. God's looking at it and saying, everything's going pretty good. You know, it's falling apart just like I want it to. Or these people are getting mad just like I want them to. They're getting frustrated. That's what I want them to do, you know. So his thoughts are not our thoughts. He's working on our heart. And our heart issues go a lot deeper than what you and I see on the outside. You know, you think back to the day that the Lord called you to himself. I don't know how much he had to do in your life to get your attention or how much he had to do to bring you to the point of listening to him. But I know in my life, I was pretty stubborn. The Lord had to just yank the rug out from underneath me of everything I thought I had going on for me to pay attention to him. And that's just my own hard-headedness, you know. So the Lord knows you and me. He knows what it takes to get to that heart. He knows how many things are in the way between our heart and him. And he's able to work in our life to take care of that, to get in there, okay, and work. And this is why we just have to trust him, keep doing what he says, and don't worry about the circumstances going on around us. That one passage you looked at earlier, I read before we started this morning, was Isaiah 55. I want you to look at Ezekiel 18. Excuse me. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, there's another passage here that might help if you're one of those people that needs to see it a couple times. Ezekiel chapter 18, and we're going to look down to verse 25. In Ezekiel 18, verse 25, in the middle of a thing the Lord's trying to teach the folks here, it says in verse 25, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? I thought that's a really good statement from the Lord. He even repeats it at the end of the passage here, that Ezekiel passage, because a lot of times we look and say, God, that's not fair. And the Lord is saying, are you sure you're looking at this right? I think I'm the fair one and you're the one who's not fair. You know? So we really don't get it. We don't understand things the way the Lord does. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And whenever we are ready to argue with God about something, realize he's already right and he already has the right answer. We're the ones who are not right. No matter what it looks like on the outside, we've messed up. Okay? So try to hold back a little bit when you're throwing that out. Because as we see Moses here, our question to him is, why don't you get this, Moses? God already told you, you know? But again, it comes back to us. Why don't we get it? Because the Lord has told us things too, right? So back in the Exodus passage there, as Moses was saying, verse 12, the children of Israel haven't listened to me. They didn't want to hear what I had to say. And now, will Pharaoh listen to me? And he says, for I am of uncircumcised lips. He's bringing up his hindrance again. I can't speak good. You know, why would he listen to me? And the Lord answers him in verse 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So when Moses said, oh man, I can't even talk good, the Lord, one, reminds him, remember Aaron, we already had this conversation. Aaron is already here. And instead of, you know, saying, oh, come on, Moses, you can do it and all that kind of stuff, he just says, look, you take this command, you take it to the children of Israel, and you take it to Pharaoh. That's your job. Just do it. You know, verse 14. These are the heads of their father's houses. So the Lord's going to introduce a few people to us here. The goal is to get us to Levi. Okay, so we're going to kind of jump through some of this here instead of reading all these names. He starts with the oldest son of the tribes of Israel, and he's working his way down to Levi because that's the one he wants to talk about. But he said in verse 14, these are the heads of their father's houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, mentions his kids. Then in verse 15, the sons of Simeon, and gives us their names. Interesting thing about the list of names there at the end or the middle of that verse 15, it says, "And Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman." Okay? And I think one of the things we notice here is, here now we've had the children of Israel who were starting to intermarry with the pagans, and that's one of the reasons, too, that God had to get them away from the land of Canaan and put them in a place where nobody wants to have any part of them. Remember, we said that before, the Egyptians don't want to marry, they don't even want to be around the Hebrew people here. And God's trying to keep them as a distinct group so they don't just blend into the rest of the world and no longer exist as this group of people. So there's evidence that there is a danger of that if the Lord didn't do something. Verse 16, these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations. And this is the family line that Moses and Aaron came from. So this is where God was going to try to bring us up to speed on the children of Levi. Levi had Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, and then it tells us the years of his life were 137 years. And then it goes down to that level, and it says the sons of Gershon, and gives us their names. And in verse 18, it mentions the sons of Kohath, and Amram was one of those. Then in verse 19, it mentions the sons of Merari. And then at the end of that verse, it says these are the families of Levi according to their generations. Now Amram, and that was one of the sons of Kohath, he was trying to get to show you where Moses came from. Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. So now we have the name of Moses' mother. Remember the one who made a little ark and put him in there to preserve his life. And it said the years of the life of Amram were 137. So we get Moses' mom and dad's name here. And then it mentions their sons. And it comes down in verse 23, and it says, Aaron took to himself Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab, sister of Nashon, as wife, and she bore him Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Now their names are going to be important because God is going to start the priesthood through Aaron. And these are going to be the first list of priests that they have serving under Aaron, okay, as the high priest. So God's giving us an introduction to these people before he sets all this up. In verse 24, it mentions the sons of Korah, and they're called the Korahites at the end of that verse. Then in verse 25, Eleazar, Aaron's son, took for himself one of the daughters of Putiel as wife, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the father's houses of the Levites according to their families. Now these are the same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are the same Moses and Aaron. So God was just giving us their lineage so we can see they truly are from the tribe of Levi. Verse 28, it came to pass on the day the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh heed me? So again, he brings up this excuse that I can't talk. I'm uncircumcised. My speech isn't good. You know, and he seems to keep wanting to go back to that. And the Lord doesn't hear any of that. In verse 1 of chapter 7, we'll go just a little bit into this. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. So remember Moses, Aaron, I brought him in here again. He keeps taking that excuse away from him. Verse 2, you shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of this land. So he mentions here, again, that description of a prophet. As God has given Moses the message, Moses is now going to give that message to Aaron, and Aaron has to deliver it to whomever God says. And that's the role of the prophet. The prophet is to take what God says and deliver it to whomever God says deliver it. Now, again, he said, you're going to take this message in verse 3, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart. So, thank you, Lord, that I'm going to go tell somebody something, and they're going to get mad about it again, all right? Because God's at work here. He's going to harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Now, something God's doing here in the background, again, he's making sure they know that when the Pharaoh finally lets them go and says, get out of here, They don't ever look back and say, thank you, Pharaoh, for doing that. But they're going to say, thank you, Lord, for doing that. Okay? And that's really important because God's the one who did this. God's the one who set this up. He worked it out. Even though they're waiting for permission from Pharaoh to leave, God is the one in the background who's making it all happen and making it possible. So he deserves the credit. Okay? And we got to be careful with that because we're pretty good at putting people up there, you know, and saying, look at that guy and what he did. Look at the Lord. Look what he did. Okay? So the Lord's taking care of that one, so that won't be an issue. But in the process of hardening Pharaoh's heart, he said, I'm also going to multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. So God looks like, as he's describing this picture, he's working on both sides. He's going to make the Pharaoh harder, but on the other hand, he's going to show a whole bunch of signs and wonders that he's the real God. Now, those two are going to work together, even though they sound like, that's crazy, you're working both sides here against yourself. He's not at all. He's making the Pharaoh's heart hard enough that he'll be able to show all the signs and wonders that he intends to show to his people and to Egypt. Okay? And something to keep in your mind here, too, because it doesn't come out good for Egypt at the end of the story. It comes out pretty bad. But realize, they had a chance to repent all the way through here. They saw the same signs, the same wonders that the children of God saw. They could have repented also anywhere along the way. So don't think God is just crushing these people and beating them up and going to bless his people. They have opportunity on both sides here to repent and come to the Lord. Okay? Now, the just an interesting note, too, on this hardening that God is doing, because some people say, well, if God hardened his heart, what's the deal? He couldn't do nothing anyway. Now, the Pharaoh had already made his heart hard. And you can do a little study on this if you want. There are actually two Hebrew words that are being used here for hardening of the heart. The one, when it says the Pharaoh had his heart hard on his own, that Hebrew word means stubborn, act of rebellion. Okay? That's what he did himself. Now, when it said, the Hebrew word that's used when it said God is going to harden his heart, that's the idea of making it firm. So it's kind of like if the guy says, my heart is hard, the Lord is saying, okay, well, I'll pour concrete around that thing to help you get it harder, you know. But it's already there. So God isn't doing anything more than the guy wants already. God's just making sure he doesn't change his mind in that hardness or get fed up with it and say, just get out of here because I hate you people. But it'll actually get to the point where God's work is finished. And then the Pharaoh can say, time for you people to leave. Okay, so God's at work, and he's doing a lot of things in the background here and making things work the way they're supposed to, that he'll get the glory and that his people will be free. Now, it goes on a little bit further there in verse 5. It said, after God does all these judgments and everything on the land of Egypt, it says, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. So see, Egypt's going to know too, not just God's people, but Israel also. I mean, Egypt also. If they're open to God, they will say, if a God is this powerful, I think I should follow him. You know, logically, you would think that makes sense. They don't do that, but that's the opportunity they have. So again, don't think God's going to just beat these people up for no reason. He's working in the whole process here to have things come out his way. Now, we'll finish with verse 6 here. Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. So notice again, they obeyed the Lord. They did what they were supposed to do, even though it wasn't going to look good for them. They did just what the Lord commanded them. And it said Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Now, here's the thing, lesson we get as we'll finish here. If you got trouble obeying the Lord, which Moses did at the first here, right? He's saying, why am I going to this Pharaoh, man? Nobody wants to hear what I got to say. So he's having trouble obeying when God said, go. And what happened to change him? God's word. God continued to speak to him and to speak to him. And finally he said, okay, him and Aaron went and did what they were told. So for you and I, if you're having trouble obeying the Lord, you just need to take in more of the word of God. That's the answer for that. You're saying, Lord, I don't know, I'm having a hard time obeying you. Take in more word. Because God's word will build us to the point where we say, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I've been having a hard time with this, but I'm just going to do what you told me to do. And that's the best place you and I can be. Okay? We'll stop at this point, and we'll stop in prayer here, and then we'll have the final song. If you're here today and you have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I can assure you God's at work in your life. He's doing stuff in the background, and you're probably here today because God has been tugging on your heart and drawing you in. And we can tell you from our experience, don't fight the Lord. It's just a matter of time. You might as well give up today. If the Lord is drawing you and calling you, it goes much easier to just surrender and say, Lord, I'm ready. Just take me. I give my life to you. I want to follow Jesus. Thank you for dying for my sins on the cross. And don't even fight that anymore. And if you're here today and the Lord has been just encouraging you as a believer, child of his, and he's not giving up. Things may look bad, but he's at work. Don't be discouraged. Just start thanking him. Just praise him. You know, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, you're so good to us. Father, if there's a heart here today that has not been cleansed from their sin because they refused Jesus up to this point, help them today, Lord, just to accept Christ and accept that free gift of salvation and forgiveness from you. Lord, I just pray, just encourage them, Lord. Help them just to walk with Jesus every day. And Father, I pray that for the rest of us too, that we just be open to your leading. Lord, help us not to be stubborn or fight you, Lord, but just to obey. And Lord, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, no matter how bleak everything looks, Lord, I just thank you for the encouragement you give us that you're at work and things are happening the way you want. Help us just to continue to walk and obey you, Lord. And we look forward to see what you're going to do. You get all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen.